Praise the Lord.
Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark this morning. Mark chapter 4. I love the Gospel of Mark because it's a real action gospel. It's compact, you know, and it really moves along. Luke's gospel is much more detailed. But in Mark chapter 4, we have the parables of the kingdom. And of course, many spiritual truths are being unveiled by the Messiah here. We have parallel passages in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8, the kingdom parables they're called. Anybody tell us how many kingdom parables there are? Matthew 13, think. What's God's number of perfection? That'll give it away every time. Seven, yes, Ellie. Seven kingdom parables, glory to God. And of course, what happened in Matthew 12 was that the Jewish religious hierarchy, the leadership, officially rejected the Messiah, the King of the Kingdom. Therefore, the kingdom was postponed. The kingdom was not canceled and not rejected, but postponed. And the kingdom of God went into mystery form. That's what we're living in now. The kingdom of God is within you now. It's not a literal, visible, physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom now. And it's within every true believer. But a literal, visible, physical kingdom is coming. We know that. And that's coming for the Jews. We will be reigning with the Messiah, not under the Messiah. We will be His bride. Glory to God. What a future we have. Amen? Here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been teaching the people many truths about His kingdom. Verse 1 we read, and He began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto Him, Jesus, a great multitude. I love that, because wherever Jesus went, a great multitude gathered unto Him. He was magnetic in His personality, so that Jesus, entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea. On the land. I want you to get the picture here. Jesus is in the sea and He's in a ship, and all these thousands of people are on the shore, and He's preaching about His kingdom to the people. And He doesn't need a megaphone, amen? Jesus was a man. He had a booming voice, I believe, because they all heard Him speak. Verse 2, and He taught them many things by parables, and that's because the kingdom has gone into mystery form. He's not speaking literally now. He's speaking allegorically, parabolically. And He said unto them in His doctrine, behold, there went out a sower to sow. The first parable, of course, we know is the parable of the sower. But drop down to verse 10. And when Jesus, was alone, they that were about Him, the 12, asked of Him the parable. They said, what meaneth this parable, Jesus, concerning the sower? So He goes down, all the way down here through verse 18, through verse 20, and He's teaching them the meaning of the parable of the sower. I love that. But come down with me to verse 26. And Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. I want you to put your name in verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if Mike should cast seed into the ground. As if Miriam should cast seed into the ground. I want you to take this parable and apply it personally today. As I preach a message I've entitled, What the Farmer Can Do and What the Farmer Cannot Do. Lord in heaven, we thank You today for Your word. We thank You for this incredible parable of the seed and in how it shows us what the sower can do and what he or she cannot do. Lord, we thank You that, Lord, we can only do our part. Lord, Paul said we're co-laborers together with God. We thank You, Lord, that You're the one that gives the increase. Lord, we thank You that we can plant and we can sow and we can water, but we cannot make it grow. Lord, we thank You today for this parable. We ask You to give us spiritual ears to hear what saith the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Here in chapter 4, beloved, of Mark's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is attempting to reveal to his disciples how it is absolutely necessary for every laborer in God's kingdom to depend upon divine grace in order to serve our great King and bring forth fruit. We cannot produce fruit. We need the Lord to do that in our lives. Now, the Lord then goes on one step further. He begins to instruct his followers as to what they could do and what they could not do, what they were able to do and what they were not able to do. He's reminding them of their own human limitations, amen, due to the weakness of the flesh. So follow me this morning, beloved, as we look at what the farmer can do and what he cannot do. First of all, let me give you four things that he can do and four things that he cannot do. First, notice what it is that he can do and what it is that he cannot do. Verse 26. Look with me at verse 26. And he, Jesus, said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." Now, here's something that every single laborer in the Lord's vineyard can do. That is to plant seed in the ground. Listen, any man who has received the knowledge of the grace of God in his heart can and should impart that knowledge to others. He should sow the seed. Look at verse 26. "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should," you should, "cast seed into the ground." We learned in the first parable that the ground is what? The ground is the soil of the heart. And we need to cast the seed into the hearts of the lost that they might get saved. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6, don't turn there. It says, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand." The wise man says, sow seed. It's a good thing to sow seed. Isaiah 32:20 says, "Blessed are they that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass." Isaiah says, we are blessed when we sow the seed. We know that the seed is what? The Word of God. We know that the ground is the soil of the heart of man. The Word of God gets again into the heart of man, and we need to sow it. Something we can do. We can sow the Word. Oh, we say, sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, if we what? If we sow, right? What we can do is sow the seed. But what the farmer cannot do, listen, is make it grow. He cannot make the seed grow. He's got the best soil. He's got the best sunlight. He's got the best irrigation system. He puts a little bit of Miracle-Gro in there. The best equipment available to man. But he cannot make the seed grow. Listen carefully. Can you make a seed germinate? No. You cannot make it grow. You can't make it ripen. You can't make it spring up. No, you cannot bring life to the seed. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. You can plant those tomato plants. You can plant those cucumber seeds and those melons and all those radish seeds and all those seeds, but you cannot make them grow. Only God can. So too, beloved, in the business of planting the seed of God's Word, we cannot make the seed grow. It takes the Spirit of the living God to bring germination and life into that Word, into the heart. Reverend John Harper became pastor of the Moody Church in 1902. Listen, John Harper. Dr. W.B. Riley wrote of his great zeal for the lost when in 1912, Pastor John Harper went down in the sinking of the Titanic. He drowned. Survivors said, and I quote, "We have the history of John Harper's end. After striking the iceberg and sinking fast, Harper was found leaning against a rail and pleading with the young man to come to Jesus." These were his last words. You know what he was doing? He was sowing the seed. He couldn't make the young man get saved, but he could sow the seed. Oh, beloved, how we need to do what we can do to sow the seed. But secondly, this morning, learn from this parable what it is that he can know and what it is that he cannot know. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. Jesus says he should cast a seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. Now, one thing he can know for sure is that when he has sown good seed in good ground, some of it shall grow. Amen? You can know that. Some of that seed is going to come to life. Listen, God has made a divine promise to his believing people to bless the seeds of his word that we sow. We are not sowing in vain. Listen to me. Though some may be eaten by the fowls, parable 1. Though some may be scorched by the sun, parable of the sower. Though others may be choked by the weeds or the cares of this life, yet some shall find good ground and some shall bring forth fruit. Glory to God. We can know that for absolute certainty. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Amen. I did what I could and God blessed it. And he gave us increase. He gave us souls. Isaiah 55:11 says, God speaking, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. God says, I've got a purpose for my word. I'm going to make it grow. All you've got to do is sow it, beloved. But something that he cannot know. He can know that some will grow for sure, but something he cannot know. Look at verse 27. And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Listen carefully. The faithful farmer or sower cannot know which seeds will grow and which ones will not. Listen, you and I cannot possibly know who will come to spiritual life in Jesus and who will not. Our duty is simply to plant the seed to all we can. You never can tell who gets saved. Amen? Drunkards, drug addicts, prostitutes, gang members, murderers, death row inmates. You never know. God can save them. His word is powerful. Walter B. Knight wrote of a conversation he overheard between two Muslim men who were talking about a local missionary. One Muslim said, "Beware of that man," exclaimed one of the two, "because he distributes the scriptures to the people. He is far more dangerous than the preacher who just speaks and walks away. That man leaves a book that can convert you to Christianity." Huh, that's right. He understood the power of that book, that the word of God is seed, and it's life-giving seed. Glory to God. We can know for sure that some will grow. We just don't know which ones. But because the missionary knows that it shall grow, he plants the seed. Amen? Thirdly, this morning, observe what it is that he may expect. And observe what it is if he sows the seed and what he may not expect. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, he may expect to see some fruit. Amen? When you plant a garden in your yard, you're doing it because you're expecting to have a nice garden salad come the harvest time. Amen? So nice ripe tomatoes, juicy red. Oh, I like them. With salt, you know, cucumbers, love it. Oh, good stuff. God wants us to live in expectation of what he's going to do with the seed we sow. Listen, verse 28 is depicting a growth development, a process. Of course, this portrays that spiritual growth and development of regeneration. One woman prayed for her husband to get saved for 42 years. Guess what? He got saved. He got saved on his deathbed before he died after 42 years of prayer. You know what she did? She expected God to save him. She said, "Lord, you got to save my husband. You got to save my husband." She was expecting and she received. You may expect to see some fruit when you sow God's seed. Amen? There's no question about that. But there's something that you may not expect. The farmer, the sower of the seed, may not expect to speed up the process. You can't speed up the process of growth. Look at verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. You don't get a nice juicy corn on the cob when you just plant the seed the first day. It takes time. Amen? You cannot expect to speed up the process. Now, Man is powerless when it comes to spiritual generation of another person's soul. This is the work of the Holy Spirit alone. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, don't turn there. It says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. Listen, there was no light until the Spirit of God came into the scene. Amen? And it's the same thing in spiritual regeneration. There is no light until the Spirit of God takes that seed and quickens it, makes it alive. Dr. Horatio Bona, as he drew the curtains at night and retired to prayer, would always end with these words, and I quote, perhaps tonight, O Lord, perhaps tonight. And in the morning when he'd awake and he'd pray, he would end his prayer in the morning with these words, perhaps today, O Lord, perhaps today. And so it was for 62 years of faithful service to the King. Dr. Horatio Bona prayed this way in expectation of his dear Lord's return. There are some things we may expect when we sow the seed. Beloved, one last thing I want you to see this morning. Notice what sleep he or she may take and what sleep he or she may not take. Verse 27. Verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knoweth not how. 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now listen carefully in closing. Our God gives us the blessed peace to sleep at night. Amen? With a clear conscience. You know you're living for God. You're following in His footsteps, obeying His word, and busily sowing the seed of His word amongst men. You sleep good. Glory to God. Look at verse 27. And should sleep. We should sleep. We need sleep. Because of these physical bodies, we need rest, physical rest. There's coming a day when we won't need that no more. We'll be glorified. Psalm 127, verse 2, David said, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. If you can't sleep at night, ask the Lord, what is it in my life that's causing me to stay awake? I want to sleep. But secondly, notice the sleep that he or she cannot take. Listen, the farmer cannot take the sleep of unwatchfulness. After the seeds have all been planted, then the real work begins. He must mend the fences to keep the cattle out, lest they trample the seed. He must drive away the birds, lest they eat up the seed. He must remove the weeds, lest they choke the seed. He cannot sleep the sleep of indifference or inactivity or inaction. He cannot sleep the sleep of sinful indulgence, because there's too much work to be done in the Lord's vineyard, beloved. There's no time. We need to make every day count for Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. When the fruit is brought forth, what's the next word? Immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. This word immediately is meaning one who is taking action, and quickly. You know what I believe, church? I believe that too many of the Church of Jesus Christ today is asleep spiritually. They're saved. They're on the way to heaven. They've got eternal life. They've got eternal security. But they're when it comes to serving God. They're just comatose, man. You know, nothing going on. Just asleep spiritually. And Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Oh, how we need to wake up, church. You know what? Listen, my message this morning is what the farmer can do and what he cannot do. I like what the Lord said about the old widow woman. He said, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. That's the only thing we can do. Listen, you can't twist someone's arm and make them get saved or drag them into this church. The only thing you can do is plant the seed. Do what you could do. That's it. In closing, let me give you this. That's all the Lord expects from you. Someone wrote these words entitled, The Christian's Garden. The Christian's Garden. I like this. First, plant 5 rows of peas. Perseverance. Promptness. Preparedness. Politeness. And prayer. Next to them, plant 3 rows of squash. Squash gossip, squash criticism, squash indifference. Then plant 5 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be unselfish. Let us be loyal. Let us be truthful. Let us love one another. And no garden is complete without turnips. Plant 3 rows of turnips. Turn up for church. Turn up with a smile. And turn up with determination. The Christian's garden. Amen. Listen, folks. If you're sowing seeds like that, I believe you'll be a good farmer for Jesus, and you'll be bringing forth fruit. One day, you will reap a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you today that we're sowers, we're farmers, we're laborers in the kingdom of God. And Lord, how I thank you that your word, I love your word, Lord, because it reveals the truth about us. We're weak. We're frail. We're unable to accomplish anything. But Lord, there are certain things that we can do. And if we do our part, Lord, you will bless. You will multiply. You will give the increase, Paul said. We're co-laborers together with God. Oh yes, we are nothing, but Jesus is everything. And with Jesus, we can do all things. Glory to God. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for making us sowers in your kingdom. Lord, help us to give out these gospel tracts. They have the plan of salvation, the words of eternal life in them, the word of God. Lord, help us to be faithful sowers. I like how David couples, he goes all over the place sowing seeds of kindness, even the Jack Chip tracts. They contain the gospel and a little comic book like that. It's amazing how many people read that, Holy Joe or whatever it is, and read that little booklet and hear the gospel message in that form. We thank you for that, Father. Bless those seeds that are sown. Lord, we pray for a harvest of souls for this church. Lord, we pray that we take some folks to heaven with us. Lord, we pray that you would bless our labors. We pray that you would increase our fruit. Lord, we pray that you would cause spiritual life to spring up for all the seeds we sow. Lord, we pray for salvation of the lost. We pray that the truth would be spread far and wide, as the song says. Lord, we pray that you would bless your word. I thank you, Lord, for Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. Lord, you have a divine purpose for your word. And we thank you today, Lord. We thank you that you're a faithful God. And we thank you that we can depend upon you each and every day. And Lord, we thank you that we can know. We sow those seeds, the word of God, in the lost. Some of that soil is going to take root. Some of those seeds are going to spring up. Some of those hearts are going to receive salvation. Lord, I thank you that we don't know who. I thank you that we cannot know who will get saved. It's good that way, Lord. We're not selective in our witnessing, because you died for all mankind, as the word says. We thank you for today, Lord. Bless us as we're dismissed. And Father, help us to be better servants for thee. Show us any areas of our lives, Lord, that need reparation in any way, Lord, and mend and mold us into what you'd have us to be. Lord, we cast ourselves at your feet because, Lord, there is no other place for us. There is no other way for us but at the feet of Jesus. We love you with all of our hearts and souls, Lord, and we look forward to hearing the sound of that trumpet, Lord. Oh, do we look forward to that. All of our trials will be over. All of our sufferings and difficulties of this life, and we all got them, will be done forever. Well, forever we shall be with the Lord. Oh, wow. What a future we have, Lord. How can we complain? How can we moan and groan when we know the King of the universe is our Father? We love you today for it, Lord, and we thank you. We are an appreciative people. We give thanksgiving to the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, today. All glory goes to him and none else. Thank you for being Lord over this church. Lord, I could go on and on and on, but we just give you all the praise today. We thank you for making us farmers. We thank you for making us sowers. We thank you for making us servants and laborers in your field, in your kingdom. And use us, Lord. That's our prayer. Use us in any way you see fit for your honor and glory in your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask it. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.